And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm good getting ready for this playoff round while simultaneously prepping for the stuff that we talk about with college. We got All-Star games coming up at, I guess, the end of the month. Yeah. Senior Bowl, East-West, all that little fun stuff. NFLPA game. So, yeah, just trying to get ready, trying to do it all at one time.
No, it's fun, man. I really enjoy it. It gets a chance to narrow your focus a little bit instead of trying to keep track of 32 NFL teams. Now we're down to this playoff 14. So that field is shrunk, and then we're getting ready with all the draft stuff that's coming right around the corner. As you mentioned, All-Star games coming up end of the month and beginning of next month. Combine will be here before you know it as well. So we'll kind of transition the pod as we get closer, and we'll start really, really going draft heavy. So that's coming up soon here. I've got top 25 rookies final ranking. I think it should be posted by the time you're listening to this. So that's out there. What have you got coming up on the website here, Buck?
I am working on X Factors for the postseason round. That should go up later today. And, you know, then like you, man, trying to cast my eyes. Talk about doing top 50s. I worry about top fives. And then eventually we're both assigned to do mock drafts and all that other stuff. So digging heavily into the college game, trying to see some of the stuff that maybe we kind of put off during the season to see who was going to declare. We're now digging in and seeing what their prospect looked like.
No doubt. All right. Today, we're going to just really dig in on these wild card games. We've got Super Wild Card Weekend coming up, so we're going to preview those today. And I say we just jump right in here. Let's look at these Saturday games. We start out first here with Raiders-Bengals. I mean, I was there for the Raiders-Charger game. Everybody saw that game. It was an epic game. I think that they're, coming back on a Saturday after a Sunday night game, you got to imagine it could be a little bit emotionally spent here if you're the Raiders as you go to take on a Bengals team that's red hot.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. And it's not only a quick turnaround physically, but emotionally it's huge, right? So for the Raiders, who have said that they played three straight playoff contests, you know, having a knockoff like the Colts and then the Chargers to get into the tournament, man, that's a drag now. That's a grind mentally to kind of play these elimination games. So now you play a team in Cincinnati that is fresh and ready to go. They have a hot quarterback who feels like they can get it done right now. They have athletic and dynamic playmakers, and they also have the confidence of knowing that a few weeks ago they knocked you off and really destroyed you in your building. And so you're working against a lot. And so we'll see. And then, look, I'll say this, like Derek Carr will say that he's playing free and loose, but when you haven't played in the playoffs in an 8-year career, this is your first playoff game. I think the natural inclination is to maybe want to do too much. And so they'll have to guard against that as he kind of settles into a playoff environment, but he could play with nothing to lose because he's saying, look, that team is favored. We're going to let it rip. And maybe even plays better than he played Sunday night because he's not tight and he's not worried about the what ifs if they don't get the win.
Yeah, I look at this from the Raiders standpoint. I really feel like they've got it. They've got to win up front with their pass rush, and they've got to get after that Cincinnati offensive line. If they can't get after them, I think you saw as their secondary got a little bit tired late in that game against the Chargers, they'll get exploited because the Bengals receiving core is just ridiculous, man. So if you give Joe Burrow time, he's going to be able to carve them up a little bit. I would also look, as the Bengals have done more of this as the season's kind of gone along, what Joe Burrow did so much at LSU, which is just empty it out, you know. And I know, you know, you talk about those edge rushers for the Raiders. Instead of trying to stay in and chip them and help them, I almost think they go empty, spread them out, and just let Joe, you know, get the ball out of his hands real quick.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at that. The Raiders actually did a pretty decent job against the Bengals wideouts the first game. Like, I mean, they held them to their lowest totals collectively throughout the season. And one of the reasons is because Joe Burrow got the ball out of his hands. It was quick. It was rhythmic. It was, I would call it like a ball control passing attack where they just down the field. And the problem that you have when you're the Raiders, and the Raiders have played pretty good defense this year because they haven't given up the big plays. They've done a really good job on the outside. But can you do that and also stop Joe Mixon? Yeah. That's the part that makes the Bengals really challenging to defend because they have all that hot shot quarterback, great playmakers on the outside. But they also have a rock solid running game that they always can lean on. So whenever the game gets messy, they can go back to hand it to Joe Mixon. That is a huge advantage for this team. And so, Yeah, it's a tough challenge. It's a tall task for Gus Bradley and those guys to kind of come up with a game plan that can kind of slow down that offense. And then on the other side, the Bengals defense doesn't get enough credit.
I know.
You know, Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard,
Larry Ogunjobi.
Yeah, like they are a problem at the front line. And I think the thing that is really impressive about them has little to do with the schemes, but just how hard they play. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that we're talking about pros and pro athletes and playing hard, but man, their relentless pursuit to the ball and how they get to it, they do a really good job. It's just a matter of, can this young team, inexperienced team, can they handle the differences of a playoff atmosphere? That'd be the key.
I want to do this with each of these games, and it'd be kind of a fun exercise. All right, if the Raiders win, the player of the game is who?
Has to be Derek Carr. It means Derek Carr has played his tail off. It means Derek Carr has a 300-yard game. And that might even include Josh Jacobs getting 100 on the ground. Derek Carr has to wear the big sombrero in this game. He has to be kind of like the driving force behind their efforts. So if the Raiders win, it's because Derek Carr played and played really well.
Yeah, and I'll say it's Yannick Ngakoue. I'll say Ngakoue ends up being the player. If they're going to win, a lot of attention. Max Crosby, they're going to be aware of him. But when you go back and watch that game against the Chargers, I went back and watched the tape, and Ngakoue played really well, man. He actually gave Slater some trouble, which not many folks have done all year long. He is a really, really gifted rusher. And I think with some of that attention going towards Crosby, it frees him up a little bit. I think if the Raiders are going to win, he's going to have to get home. He's going to have to get some pressure, help maybe generate a turnover or two for the Raiders. All right, Bengals, who has to be the player of the game if they're going to win?
Ooh, who has to be the player of the game? I think Joe Mixon has to be the player of the game.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think Joe Mixon, as much as I want the ball in the hands of Joe Burrow, I think it's about control. And I think to control the game, it has to run through Joe Mixon. And if Joe Mixon is kind of like the centerpiece of the game plan, it allows them to do whatever they want offensively, because now how do we play it? Do we want to put another defender in the box? You do that, now I got to leave everyone one-on-one on the outside. Joe Mixon having a good game, being a key contributor, that sets the table for the Bengals to kind of get the game on their terms.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, Raiders, Sunday night to Saturday.
That's tough,
from the desert to going to frigid, cold Cincinnati. We've talked about it. I feel like we've kind of carried this theme all the way through the year. Those bigger backs, and they have one in Josh Jacobs for the Raiders too now. But with Joe Mixon, you're a little bit tired. You played a five-quarter game. I just think you get into the second half of that game, I think Joe Mixon might be able to take it over. That would be kind of my thoughts there.
It has to be one of those games. And here's what really matters. Like, we have picked up on some things where we talked about the big running backs. We talked about the big playmakers on the outside. You have to be able to generate explosive plays in the playoffs to be able to score points, because it's so hard to drive the length of the field. You can't turn the ball over, so you can't have a risky gunslinger that is just throwing it without caution. And so it has to be one where you want to play a little more control, particularly early. You don't want to completely change how you play it. I think the Bengals have been the top team in the AFC North because they have been kind of wide open. They have kind of been a little unconventional in terms of how they've been willing to attack. You just have to make sure, though, that you have enough balance to be able to do it. It's a great game, though. It should be a great matchup to watch.
All right, let's get to the evening game on Saturday. That is the Patriots and the Bills. What do you think?
The Buffalo Bills first. The Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen is the key. If you're asking me going into the game, Josh Allen is the best player on both teams. And so if Josh Allen has the Josh Allen experience, the Buffalo Bills are going to win. If we come out of this game saying that Josh Allen is clearly the best player on the field, the Buffalo Bills win. That said, the Buffalo Bills need to have balance. I saw in the research pack where they have the fewest running back carries per game by any team, in the playoff field at only like 18.3 or whatever. There hasn't been a team that advanced to the Super Bowl averaging fewer than 19 running back carries per game. And so of late, though, quietly since week 15, Devin Singletary has been averaging about 19 carries, 80 rushing yards. That's not like a huge number, but it's just enough where it doesn't have to be all Josh Allen all the time. If they get some of that from Singletary and then Josh Allen doing what Josh Allen does, it's going to be tough for the Patriots to slow them down. because this offense is terrific. And they're maybe getting Emmanuel Sanders back to go with Cole Beasley, Davis, and Stephon Diggs. It's a lot. Don't forget about Dawson Knox either.
Yeah, I think they're going to score points. I really do think Buffalo's going to score points, even though that Patriots defense is so good. I look at it from the Patriots offense standpoint. I mean, I think it's going to be – I know the weather's going to be better, but it's still going to be, to me, they're going to rely on their run game. They're going to try and shorten the game with that run game. They're going to empty the clip in terms of trick plays. They're going to do everything they can to try and generate offense. And I promise you, you'll see – my guess, you'll see two or three kind of gadget-type plays from the Patriots, knowing that they got to get points, man. They're going to have to manufacture it. We talk about the baseball analogy, right? The Buffalo Bills can hit the three-run home run. The Patriots don't do that. So in order for them to kind of manufacture offense, bunt guys over, sacrifice fly, get them in, it's all hands on deck. And I think you'll see – I wouldn't be surprised if you saw some creativity with personnel groupings even with the Patriots in this one.
Since you brought that up, can I tell you the trick plays they're going to run?
Yeah.
Because they're always the same trick plays. Yeah. All right. So it's going to be a reverse pass where they hand it to a wide receiver coming around the corner. He's going to throw it down the field. That's one. We'll see that. They will also do a double pass. Because they're known for doing double pass. The double pass would typically involve Jacoby Myers because he was a former high school quarterback. So keep your eyes on him.
Yep.
And then sometimes when they do the reverse pass, they'll come back and do a throwback where they will run it one way. The quarterback could go the other way. Remember, it has to be out of shotgun because in the NFL, the only way you can do it is you got to do it out of shotgun. And maybe Mac Jones catches his first pass of his NFL career. But the Patriots have been doing these same darn trick plays for 30 years, and I'm sure we're going to see it. I mean, just swap out the numbers. It's the same plays that we've always seen from the Patriots.
Yeah, well, we'll see if they can manufacture the offense. Let's play the same exercise here. Pats win. Who's their player of the game?
I'm going to give you two players of the game because I think it has to be in tandem. Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. Those guys have to shoulder the load because for the Patriots to win, it has to be about running the football, shrinking the game, and being able to make it a fourth quarter game. I think if you're the Patriots, your entire goal is to get this game into the fourth quarter where it's tight and their expertise can take over. That's how the Patriots want to play it. They don't want to get into a shootout. They want to really shrink the game and make it a 15-minute affair. And the only way for them to do that is to have Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson running the ball effectively. I don't care what anyone says. Yes, that snow game was an anomaly because of the weather. But when you run the ball successfully like that, there's a belief that you can run like that again. And they're going to explore and probe and try and find some ways to be able to run the football at the Buffalo Bills again. If they have success, they now can get their game into the fourth quarter. And if you get into the fourth quarter, it's a coin flip because Bill Belichick's ability to manage the game in those situations could give them the advantage.
Well, I think we would agree the Bills have better personnel on offense than the Patriots have on offense. So that means Patriots, as we said, all hands on deck. I also think, you know, if they're going to win this game, they got to steal a possession or two. And that's why I'll go J.C. Jackson is going to be the player of the game because he's the one who can take the ball away.
That's a great call because the Bills have to help the Patriots win this game.
Yeah.
And by helping them win, it's always the same thing. It's turnovers. They can't turn the ball. If they turn the ball over, and we've seen Josh Allen have some bad moments this year where he's turned the ball over multiple times in the game. You can't have errors in the kicking game. The Patriots feast on your inability to make routine plays in the kicking game. So you got to field all kicks. You can't have any errors. You can't give up a block kick. Can't give up a big return. Defensively, they just got to make sure they don't let one of those guys slip behind, fall asleep at the wheel. We talk about the trick plays. Just don't give up the big play. Make them drive the ball at the length of the field and see if Mac Jones can patiently do it that way. If they can do those things, then they just have to avoid the penalties. That's what the Buffalo Bills have to do. In fact, if I'm Sean McDermott, I'm not saying that I take a more conservative approach, but I believe that the Patriots can't beat me, so I don't have to do any undue risk, any unnecessary risk. We don't have to go out and necessarily win the game being flashy. Hey, man,
you got a better team.
Our team is better. Let's put it right down the fairway. I don't need to pull out the driver. Let's take out the 3-wood and just right down the middle. And if they do it, they win.
That's a good way to look at it. All right, quickly on the Bills, player of the game would be who? Are we going to go Josh Allen on that one? I mean, he's the offense.
He's everything. Josh Allen. Josh Allen has to be the player of the game. And you know what? Josh Allen can be the player of the game without putting up big stats. If I look in the stat line and he has zero giveaways, Josh Allen has done his job for the day. Just don't give it away.
Yeah. I'll say, even if we want to get more specific, Josh Allen, his lower half in this game, just being able to run third downs, third and threes. That's what makes him so difficult to defend, man.
He's a problem. He's a problem. He quietly has over 750 rushing yards.
I know. How about that?
Like, quietly, it's the craziest thing. Like, everyone talks about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has over 750 and 10 touchdowns. Josh Allen is like one of only three players to have like 750 plus rushing yards and 30 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, Ronald Cunningham. Yeah. Hey, man, you talk about like just not seeing that from the kid at Wyoming. Holy smokes, man. Holy smokes. He's something. He's a game changer.
All right. We're going to get to the Sunday and Monday games. We're going to get to those right after this. All right, Buck. Eagles, Bucks. Kind of big picture thoughts on this one. I think I'm crazy because there's always one kind of head scratcher game. And I don't even know if logic even follows me on this one, but I went Eagles on this game in an upset. But give me your thoughts on this one.
Okay, I like you thinking. God, I don't know who heard this. I just heard this recently where we talk about, look, man, run right at speed, run away from power. When you look at the stats, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are great stopping the run in between the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the worst teams in the league on defending perimeter runs. And so when we think about the Buccaneers, we think about Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh on the inside. Well, guess what? The Eagles don't run on the inside. Mm-hmm. All of their misdirection running game is to the edges. And so, DJ, you're pointing out something that could be a quiet advantage that they win in, which is the running game on the perimeter. Watch out for that. Because if the Eagles can run the ball, it's like we said again, those teams that are underdogs, you're just trying to get the game into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And so with Jalen Hurts being able to run it, the collection of running backs and Gainwell and all those guys being able to give contributions, this is the number one rushing offense in football, averaging over 150 yards a game. You're talking about a team that dominates on the run. If they have any success getting to the edges on the ground, now it's a different ball of wax, because as much as we talk about Jalen Hurts and maybe some of the questions about him throwing, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't cover well. And if you can get Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert one-on-one, Quez Watkins taking a shot, that might be just enough to give them some space to play downhill.
Yeah, you look at that first meeting. Bucks won 28-22 earlier this year. They got out to a big lead. I think it was 21-7, and then Philly ended up coming back, making it close late. Philly only ran the ball 19 times. They didn't have many plays, period. They threw the ball 26 times. They ran it 19 for 100. They averaged 5.3 a carry, had two touchdowns on the ground. So they just need more volume with their rushing attack. They held Tom Brady under 300 yards. And that was a game when you kind of look back at it, you see Leonard Fournette, you see Chris Godwin, you see Antonio Brown had 9 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. Like, I can make an argument that this Eagles team is much better now than they were then. I can make an argument that Tampa's taken on some water at that
different
time.
Different team.
Now, yeah, it's a different team. I'm breaking my rule of ever going against Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's probably just going to take all these guys and Cyril Grayson will end up, you know, being the Super Bowl MVP after Brady hoists him on his shoulders. I mean, it's dangerous to go against Brady, but I actually think that Philly can match up with Tampa.
Well, they can. So the key will be, how well does Philadelphia defend the quick rhythm passing game?
Yeah.
All right. When you think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now that AB is gone and Chris Godwin is out,
you have Slay travel. Would you have Slay travel with Mike Evans?
Yes. Yeah, I think you have to. Because look, now the ball is going to two guys. It's going to Evans and Gronk. So let's try and find a way to take those guys away. And let's make Grayson and Scotty Miller and Rashard Perriman. Let's see if those guys can be big time in a big environment. We also know that, look, those guys up front from Philadelphia, they're still effective enough to get after the passer. And Tom Brady is not holding onto the ball. And so the ball is going to come out quick. So the key to this game is not whether the Eagles can knock down the passes, it's can they tackle immediately. If they can limit the rack yards and allow them to drive from 20 to 20 but eventually get stops, they can do it. And I will say this, like early in the season, this is how they wanted to play defense, where they were conceding the underneath throws. It didn't work out. They became a little more man-centric. I think this might be the time where they can vary it. And maybe they go back to a little more zone, rally and tackle, and see if they can punish those little guys that are catching the ball.
Yeah, no, that'll be interesting. Who do you think's got to be the player of the game here for each team? You can go back to back, Eagles and then Bucks. What do you think?
I think Jalen Hurts has to play well, but I think Jalen Hurts has to be a factor as a runner. And I mean, I would almost venture to say that if Jalen Hurts gets 75 plus rushing yards, they're kind of running the game the way that they want to. I think for the Bucks, I think Rob Gronkowski is the player of the game, because in these situations where it's trust in big games, I think Gronk ends up reemerging as a big force. You saw him have over 100 yards last game. I think he has to be a big player for this team to kind of get back on track and win without those Pro Bowlers that they lost.
Yeah, I might go double tight ends on that. I'm with you. I might go Gronk, and then I might go Goddard on the other side. See which one of those tight ends has a better game. Maybe that determines who the winner is. Goddard's really come on after the Ertz move. They paid him. I think he's really one of the better tight ends in football. Forget young tight ends, just tight ends in general. So he have a big game. That'd be huge. All right, let's get to the next one here, the one we're going to be calling on Amazon Prime Video as well as on Twitch. That is the 49ers and the Cowboys. I'm not saying that just because we're calling it. It's my favorite matchup of the playoffs here in the Super Wild Card round.
It's a tough matchup. It's a tough matchup, you know, because style makes fights. And the way that the San Francisco 49ers want to play, it kind of runs counter to the way that Dallas Cowboys like to play defense. This is a defense that is opportunistic. They like to force turnovers. Well, the hardest thing to do is to force turnovers against a ground attack. And so this is one where, at the beginning, whoever is able to seize control of the game. If the San Francisco 49ers are able to run the ball successfully and Jimmy Garoppolo throws fewer than 27 passes, the San Francisco 49ers are going to walk out of AT&T Stadium with a win. However, if the Cowboys can stop the run early and make Jimmy G become the passer, the turnovers come. And as simple as that. And so it's a Jimmy G game. If Jimmy G is comfortable and doesn't do anything, great. If he has to do more than we expect, then it's going to be a problem.
I went through the next gen stats packet for this game as we get ready for it, and some fun ones that stood out. 49ers pass rush with four or fewer rushers this year, right? That's what they do. QB pressure percentage, third in the league, 29.4. Sack percentage, third in the league, 7.4. But here's the deal. They rush four, they've got to get home. When they get home, when they get pressure, when they rush four, opposing quarterbacks complete 56% of their passes, three touchdowns, three picks, 74.3 passer rating. When they rush four fewer and they don't get home, opposing quarterback, 73.5% passer, 11 touchdowns, six picks, and a 95.1 passer rating. So that, to me, when you look at the defense of San Fran against the offense of the Cowboys, is that's the game. They're going to rush forward, Nick Bosa and company, and they've got to get home.
I mean, they have to win. And if they don't win, it's going to be a problem, because the Cowboys still have an advantage on the perimeter. Yeah. And they're star players. And I think what we all do, and I think this is very, very popular for us in the media world, is everyone is riding with the San Francisco 49ers, right? It's a nice story or whatever, but
recency bias. We just saw them come back against the Rams.
They also are a team that has, seven losses on the ledger. And when you go and you dig down, the common denominator typically is Jimmy Garoppolo and the turnovers. In their nine wins, he only has four giveaways. In their six losses, he has 11 giveaways. That's what it is. If he takes care of the ball, they win. If he doesn't, they lose. But here's the nugget. You talk about digging into the thing. Jimmy G in the postseason, DJ, he only averages 142 passing yards per game. Running.
Yeah, well, the NFC Championship game skewed that. Jimmy Christmas.
But even with that, he has two touchdowns and three interceptions.
Yeah.
So even with the few opportunities, he still messes it up. So, man, if you thought that Kyle Shanahan loves running the ball, it's going to look like Army versus Navy. I know. Like, he's going to run it. He's going to pound it. Like,
so everybody's pointed to Debo versus Trevon Diggs, right? And I think everybody's looked at it a little bit wrong, because they're saying, how is Diggs going to cover Debo? And if you get inside Kyle Shanahan's head, let me just give you the numbers and then I'll explain it. Diggs in coverage, interception percentage, 11.5%, first in the league. Yards per reception, 18.5, most in the league. So you're talking about somebody who's picking the ball off at a higher rate than anybody else. He's also giving up more big plays than anybody else. But here's the kicker. Stephon Diggs, and this is a PFF run grade. I don't put tons of value in their gradings in terms of like these subjective stats. But when you're 74th out of 75 corners in tackling, that to me, that's not good.
That's not good.
They're not going to worry about Diggs covering Deebo Samuel. They're going to force Diggs to tackle Deebo Samuel, whether that means putting him in the backfield and isolating and forcing him to be the force player, or whether that's giving him a reverse, whatever. They're going to make Diggs have to tackle this dude. Good luck.
Yeah, and that is going to be something that we definitely have to look at. And I think that is a big thing. That's an underrated part of the game. I talked about this maybe on radio. I written about this. The thing that the Cowboys have to do is it's not just the front seven being able to play. It's how well their secondary plays run defense. Because the one thing that you look at, and it's glaring on the tape, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, they are dominant blockers on the perimeter.
Yeah,
they take pride in being able to dominate you in the run game. And so if you're one of those that is unable to fend off blocks and is not a willing tackler, it's going to be a big day for the San Francisco 49ers on the ground. So to your point, they are going to run at Diggs, but just know with the 49ers, the one thing that always accompanies their running game are a handful of misdirection shot plays.
Yep.
They are going to play action. They're going to boot one way, and they're going to throw it all the way across the field the other way on some kind of double move, deep post corner, deep over. So they're going to take a handful of shots. And the guy that is circled, the guy who's been wearing the yellow penny, is somebody wearing number seven. Because they're going to try and take that shot at Diggs. But Anthony Brown has also been caught a couple times too. So they're going to take their chances running the ball, running the ball, running the ball. And then they're going to raise up a handful of times and try and get those play action passes that lead to touchdowns. They want touchdowns when they dial those plays up. And so Jimmy Garoppolo can't blow the layup when it comes to that stuff.
All right, so at the Charger-Raider game at halftime, I don't know if they showed any of this on TV, but at halftime, there was actually a Lil Jon concert. And all I could think of, because he went through the catalog of hits, shot, 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 shot. And now that's all I can think about now when I see these play-action shot plays. I got that song stuck in my head, man.
I mean, you have to take them. DJ, you have to take the shots. Yeah. That's the entire point of being able to run the football effectively. Is that you want to take a handful of shots to put points on the board. That's the difference.
What do we have to pay to get the rights to that song when we do the Amazon game? I mean, when they do that, we should have a strobe light.
Maybe I can inadvertently hit it on my computer. Oh, I didn't know.
Only 5 seconds. We get a few seconds. Yeah. All right. So real quick here, players of the game for each team if they win, Niners, Cowboys.
Niners has to be Jimmy Garoppolo because he ultimately is the deciding factor.
I was going to say Cowboys had to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
I got a different play of the game for the Cowboys. It is Greg Zuerlein.
He's got to make some kicks, man.
He's missed 12 total kicks. He's missed 6 PATs.
Yeah.
And people dismissed that. People dismissed it like, oh, that's not a big – hey, it changes the way that you think about everything. If he misses one early – you're nervous because you can't count on it. Greg Zuerlein has to be played again. He has to be 100% on the PATs.
I'm going to go with the two wideouts. I'm going to say Deebo has a great game that the Niners win. And I'm going to say actually CeeDee Lamb. Both those guys are outstanding after the catch, two of the best in the league. I think CeeDee Lamb has a big game. I picked the Cowboys to win this game in a close one. I think CeeDee Lamb can be kind of the difference there. Okay, let's get to the next one here. This is the third game on Sunday. This is Steelers Chiefs, as Ben Roethlisberger said, we have no chance, yada, yada, yada. And I know he's being facetious and just trying to like play into it. And I'm like, you're true. You got no shot. I don't see them having any shot in this game. Do you?
Yeah, the only shot, I mean, like it has to be a turnover festival from Pat Mahomes. Like DJ, you talk about like, if I am Andy Reid, and this wouldn't be something that Andy Reid does. As we talked about the analogy, the three wood.
Yeah.
I may hit irons because the Steelers cannot score. Yeah. We are just going to hit irons and just put it in the thing. You don't have to be exotic. You don't have to be overly creative. It's going to be hard for the Steelers to manufacture points. And so offensively, just don't give them anything. Just be simple, be efficient, take care of the ball. Let's make sure we put points up every time we're in the red zone, where it's 3 or 7. And if we just tally up those points, they will not have enough. But I think the Steelers have to hold the Chiefs to under 20 to be able to win. And I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
So that's what has to happen.
Do your kids like the Star Wars stuff?
Yeah, they do. They love it.
Yeah. You know, like in Star Wars when they use the force and it chokes them like from a far away. Like that's what I think of the Steelers offense in this game. Like just gonna get choked out. Like they play half court basketball, man. It's like they're playing 5-on-5 half court and there is no space whatsoever.
No space whatsoever. And so if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo won't dial it back. But, like, man, you can bring pressure, whatever. You just want to make sure that the coverage behind it is tight. So maybe not – the catalog doesn't need to be as big with the pressures. But come after Ben Roethlisberger because he doesn't want to get hit. He's going to get rid of the ball quickly. You got tackling space. Just don't give them any cheap plays. If the Chiefs don't give up any cheap scores, it'd be hard for the Steelers to go down the field. So my play of the game for the Steelers, if they win – is not even a player. It's Matt Canada. Matt Canada is going to have to come up with all kinds of creative fly, sweep, jet sweep, motion, trick them stuff to get
kick return for touchdown, fumble return for touchdown in this game. Like they got to have all kinds of stuff.
It's going to have to be everything. They have to be deep in the bag. Now, we say this, it'd be tough because the Steelers are tough and they're prideful and they got whooped the last time that they played. So the game would be closer, but the Chiefs will have to give the Steelers extra opportunities and scoring chances for the Steelers to pull this off. In an even Steven game, the Steelers don't have enough firepower to be able to get it done.
Was it Vince? Was it your former Tar Heel? Or was it Vince Carter? With
over.
It's over. It's over. Hey, this thing ain't started yet.
It's over. Yeah, you can't. I mean, you have to do that. And it's just one of those things where you have to understand, guys, you stand in front of guys, here's the deal. The Steelers can only beat us if we help them. Let's make sure we take care of the football. Let's make sure we're on our P's and Q's in coverage. No deep balls, no blown coverages. We do those things, we'll walk away with the win.
Well, this will make its way to the Steelers pregame video that they watched the night before. By the way, if somebody clips this off, they're giving you no chance. Look at these idiots, giving you no chance. It's over. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and get you to the Monday game. That's the Cardinals and the Rams. We'll do that right after this. All right, Buck, this is the final one. First time we get a Monday playoff game. What do you like in this one, Cardinals Rams?
I like the compelling matchup because I think we've seen this play out. We saw the Arizona Cardinals absolutely dominate the Rams. Physicality, toughness, blitzing, all of that stuff. And we've seen the Rams, when they played at their best, they're a hard team to deal with. Number one thing is which Rams team is going to show up, namely which number nine is going to show up. Because really, they'll go as he goes. He has 41 touchdowns. He has 17 interceptions, tied with Trevor Lawrence for the lead. Yeah. And so need the Matthew Stafford to show up. That is, look, dial it back. I don't want to take away from the things that make him great as a gunslinger, but if I'm Sean McVay, it's not a coincidence that Cam Akers comes back. Cam Akers a little bit, Sony Michel a lot. Run the football. They run the football and dictate the terms. It not only protects the quarterback, it protects that offensive line. They get into trouble when they get into a straight drop back game where they're not able to use the illusion of the running game to protect the offensive line. And so run the football enough where Matthew Stafford can throw play action. He can take shots to Cooper Kupp and those guys. They'll have a chance.
I look at the Achilles heel for these two teams, and I kind of look at the offensive line for both of them that have had issues. I think they both gave up 5 sacks last week, the Cardinals and the Rams. And so then I just come down to trying to predict how this thing goes and who can take advantage of the weakness. And I just believe more in the Rams' ability to attack and take advantage of that front. Cardinals have a good defense. They've got a good front. I just believe a little bit more in that Rams group to be able to capitalize on some inconsistent O-line play.
Yeah, I'm with you. And when I look at the Cardinals offensively, their biggest issue is like they struggle, man. Their offense has kind of been ground to a halt without DeAndre Hopkins on the outside. And so they don't have that ability. And the only way they can counter that or counterbalance that is to rely on James Conner and Chase Edmonds to make more plays out of the backfield, whether it's runners or receivers. They have to utilize all the weapons. And Kyler Murray has to be big time. So player that has to play well. Kyler Murray has to play like the best player on the field. And we've seen him do that at times. And not only as a thrower, Kyler Murray's going to have to use his legs in this one. He seems to be a little hesitant and reluctant to kind of be that runner. When they're in the playoffs, all bets are off. He needs to be able to really probe the defense in a few different ways. And If they do that, they have a chance. But if he's going to sit and play as a traditional drop back passer, it's going to be hard on them to generate enough points.
What about the Rams? Who has to, who's the MVP if they win?
Let's see. Who is the MVP of the Rams if they win? Based on last week, I would say Eric Weddle. Because
how about that?
Many,
yeah.
They had too
man,
many.
He hasn't played since 2019. I love Weddle, man. That's a challenge, yeah, though.
That is a challenge. But you know what? When I saw the move, they busted coverage multiple times. Like, here's what happened, DJ. At the end of that game, Jalen Ramsey had the green dot.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is for a cornerback to be the yeah, traffic cop, particularly if he's an emotional corner, emotional defender? Yeah. That has to go somewhere else. I almost have to put the green dot on Eric Weddle if he comes back. Just I need a stabilizing force in the middle of the defense. And I'm not saying we don't even know if he's going to play or not, but it has to be someone that can stabilize the secondary. Too many busts in the back end. We've seen on back-to-back weeks, like there have been some kind of communication issues and things going on with Taylor Rapp and some of the other guys. They just got to clean it up. When they clean it up and play just clean football and they don't make mistakes that leave people wide open, it's a really good defense. They just don't do it consistently enough.
I'm going to go with you that, I mean, the Cardinals have any chance unless Kyler Murray's Superman has an unbelievable game. He's going to be the key for them winning the football game. I'm going to go to the Rams. I'm going to say kind of, you know, we joked and had fun with the, you know, when the Von Miller thing happened about the Toby Keith song, you know, I don't know, maybe as good as I once was, just as good once as I ever was. Like,
close it out.
This is the time now, you know.
Close it out.
And I think he's such a savvy vet. I think he knew, okay, he's had some big sacks coming down the stretch, but I think that he's kept that reserve tank nice and full. And now it's time to, okay, cut it loose here.
It's funny you said that because I think he had two sacks last week.
Yep.
He's beginning to kind of –
that's what I'm saying.
He's beginning to kind of come on. You know, it kind of reminds me of those old teams like that you have, like a basketball team. You got an old six man that hasn't really played. He comes off the bench.
You got Vinny Johnson coming
where
in here.
Like, he comes off the bench and heats up and does some stuff. He might be able to do that as a pass rusher because, as you know, in the postseason, everybody really focuses on trying to nullify some of the things that you do really well. And so for the Rams, defensively, Aaron Donald is what they do really well. He's a dominant player. So all the attention goes to number 99. Well, that's going to leave some one-on-one opportunities for 40 on the backside. Yeah, Von Miller is going to be a factor.
Yeah, that's my pick there. I think he ends up having a big game. We'll be talking about that as a really good trade after this one is over. So there you go. That's our preview of Super Wild Card Weekend. It's going to be fun. Again, you can catch us on Amazon Prime Video as well as on twitch.tv/movethesticks. It'll be Joy Taylor, Bucky Brooks, myself. You can hang with us there and watch that game. So fun weekend of football ahead. Cannot wait. We will recap it all next week. We'll be back together. I think we've got the TV show as back next week, I want to say, Buck. So
is it? Yeah,
it's moving. I think the time's maybe moving, maybe 5 Eastern. Nabil can confirm that for us. I think it's 5 Eastern next week. But we'll be back with the Move the Sticks television show on Monday. He confirmed that. Yeah. So 5 Eastern Monday, you can catch the Move the Sticks TV show. But that's going to do it for us today. Hope you guys have had a better day than Carson Wentz. Apparently, they're not committed to him. Just saw that on social media going forward. So we'll see what happens with the Colts after disappointing end of their season. Maybe we'll touch on that next week as well. But you can catch us right here on Move the Sticks. We'll see you then.